Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and no real reason to beat around the bush at this point. Brian Port, program director for 102.5 The Game, in the studio for a major programming announcement. The floor is yours, sir.
Did you say major?
I said massive.
It's massive.
It's disgustingly huge.
It impacts everyone listening right now to ESPN 102.5 The Game, because we have a new morning show to announce right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Braden Gall, since September of 2016, you've been on the morning show.
That's true.
And you had Jason Fitz as your co-host for little over a year. And Jason Fitz left us on December 6th. And starting Monday, February 12th, you will be part of a new three-person morning show called Morning Drive. So, Braden Gall, you still made the cut.
Yes! Sweet!
Joining Braden Gall from Philadelphia, a voice that will be new to this market, will be Nick Kale. Nick, welcome to Nashville.
Is this thing on? Are we live?
Yes, we are.
Are we local?
Yes.
Late breaking? Station of the people? Is that how it works around here?
It does.
All right.
So you are from Philadelphia.
That is correct.
And you moved here right before the Super Bowl, and you had to watch your Eagles win the Super Bowl from your new apartment. So what was that like?
So essentially what happens is when I leave a market, that team ends up winning a world championship. So when you've had enough of me in 9, 18 months, 3 years from now, and you fire me, the Tennessee Titans are almost a certainty to hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
Well, that's
so that's the good thing.
That is good to know.
We got that going for us.
Maybe the Preds hoist the Stanley Cup. One of those things will happen upon my dismissal.
The Preds may hoist the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it might happen earlier.
This June. So, Nick, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
We're happy to have you. And the Eagles will have a Super Bowl parade today.
Oh, my God.
And you're going to be here in Nashville.
But we're having our own parade right
now. Yes, we are.
In this studio.
We don't have nearly as many porta potties as they have in Philly right now. 850 porta potties.
It's like one for every 3,500 people that will be there today.
It's not good city planning.
It's pretty rough.
So I said there is a third person joining this morning show. Nick is an unfamiliar voice to our listening audience, a familiar voice to our listening audience. Joining Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, is the one and only D-Mace, Derek Mason. Derek, joining the Morning Drive.
Hey, what's going on?
How do you feel like mornings are going to treat you?
Luckily, I'm a morning person. And getting back to what Nick said, Nick, we're going to like you, so you can't go anywhere.
Well,
we're not going to you're not going to be the sacrificial lamb here, okay?
All right.
I don't know. That means you're
even though I want the Titans and, you know, the Preds to win a championship, sometimes, hey, man, no more sacrificial lambs around here, okay?
Well, just so you know, D-Mace, I also played football, not at your level. But, you know, I played high school football, all right? Not to go like Al Bundy here.
You played at one of my levels.
I never scored four touchdowns in one game, but I did wear the number 85.
There we go.
Some say I wore it better than you.
Probably in high school you did.
So, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, our new morning show. Starting Monday will be Braden Gall, Nick Kale, and former NFL wide receiver Derek Mason. Guys, we are definitely looking forward to this new morning show. It's going to bring a lot of energy, going to bring a lot of passion, and bring a lot of insight to the Nashville market.
I'll say I'm super excited, super proud to work with you guys. Can't wait to get things started on Monday. And we've got a lot to get to this offseason for the Titans and in the regular season for the Preds. There's a lot going on, boys.
Okay, I only have one request, because now it's a three-man show, and previous show, 3D, which, oh man, the name's gone. Gosh, we're gonna have to have a memorial for the name 3D. We're gonna have to have scrape. But anyway, you know, before I was sitting over there, and you know, one thing about me is that, you know, and I don't know if Braden and Nick are like this, I don't know about you, Ryan, because you hadn't even seen some movies that I've seen.
She hasn't seen any movies. Ryan hasn't, let's just be honest here.
Yeah, I mean, that's D-Mace, you're underselling that, man. Like, I'm not sure he's seen a movie.
Exactly.
Any movie.
But usually I don't like to have my back to that to the door. That's just any man. But I know you two guys are probably like that too. Can we get a television right here?
So we're fighting for studio space.
No. I just want a television here. Can we find a way to get a television where because I like to look at, you know, what we're doing, and a story might come up, and I don't want Nick and Brayton to be the guys to see the story first. You know, I got
my
Twitter.
It's not a competition. Yeah, but
anything for you, D-Man.
We're making everything. We make each other better. Competition is what it's all about.
You want to be the guy that breaks the news. Being first isn't always the best. You know, being right is what matters.
But if we see it, we've seen that before.
This is America 2018.
First is best. It don't matter if you get it right or not.
It doesn't.
We've seen it. Well, we've heard it.
I'm with you. We could use a television.
Yeah, we could use another television.
Come on, Ryan.
Get
us another
anything
TV.
Anything for you, D-Mace.
Televisions are $250. $100. You know, $50 if you go to a pawn shop somewhere.
Brandon on Twitter has already chimed in and said, "So excited about the new morning show. I already am ready to sacrifice the new guy for a championship. Dilly dilly."
Nick, see, you put yourself out there already to be sacrificed. You can't do that.
The check's in the mail.
So part of this announcement is the midday show will continue to feature Darren McFarland and Willie Donick from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The show will be called Darren and Donick. Then obviously we have Jared and the GM weekday afternoons from 2 to 6 p.m. with Jared Stillman and former Titans GM Floyd Reese. And in addition to all of this, I know he has made it official on social media, but we might as well make it official on the air. Chase McCabe, the producer of this show, has been promoted to assistant program director of ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9 Game 2.
Does that mean he has to make coffee in the morning?
Yes.
Exactly.
No, that's the overnight guy. Oh. I delegate. My first act is APD. I've decided, you know what, D-Mace?
Yes.
You want to have a fun memorial for 3D? Uh-huh. I think we need to do it one more time tomorrow.
I think so, too.
I think you need to come in studio.
Whoa!
With Darren and Willie.
That uh-huh. just happened.
And we need to do one more 3D.
Let's do it.
Because you and I are moving. I mean, we got to get up early now. So, but one more time.
Yeah, join the club, boys.
To the east side, in a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Is this going to be a regular part of the show?
This is not a deluxe apartment.
Yes,
but,
Derek likes to sing.
Is the singing going to be a normal thing?
Yeah, it will be. Every now and then, but yeah.
We have more votes on Twitter for Nick to leave if the Titans win the Super Bowl.
Let's start a Twitter poll right now.
Cody on Twitter. Cody on Twitter says, if the Titans can win a Super Bowl, you can leave now. So,
whatever you heard about Southern hospitality, it's not true.
Exactly.
I was just thinking that.
So once again, your new morning show right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Morning Drive with Braden Gall, Nick Kale from Philadelphia, and former NFL star Derek Mason.
There you have it, boys. Ready to go on Monday? Although everybody can catch you tomorrow on 3D, of course. Luke's going to jump back in the studio. We'll wrap up the show today. And Monday morning, boys, everybody ready?
Let's do it.
Ready to go.
Ready,
Derek Mason, Nick Kale.
Ready,
Ryan Porth, you got anything else? Are we good?
That's it.
All right. I'm going to talk about recruiting when I come back. Everything you need to know about National Signing Day in the SEC, we'll have you covered when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game in Woodhouse Day Spa in Franklin have teamed up to give away a spa package worth over $300. So this Valentine's Day, get yourself out of the doghouse and into the Woodhouse. Seriously, all you have to do, follow us on Twitter, tweet out and tag at 102.5 The Game, tag at Woodhouse TN. And use the hashtag out of the woods. So all you got to do is tweet at the game account, at Woodhouse Day Spa, and hashtag out of the woods, and you will be entered to win on Friday. We will announce a winner during our show. This $300 spa package includes a 50-minute sweetest massage, yes please, organic discovery facial and warm agave nectar pedicure. That all sounds spectacular. So all you got to do, tweet at 102.5 The Game, tweet at Woodhouse TN, and hashtag out of the woods. The Luke Rogers back in studio with me.
I got relegated for a second, but I am back.
It's all right. You won your championship in your lower level league. Now you're back.
Right. Yeah.
You won the Sun Belt football championship, and now you're back in the SEC.
Dude, I wish that was relegation. I actually had this conversation yesterday. That would be awesome.
It would. It would never work.
No, no. But can you imagine, like, see, UT would have been
if people don't,
relegated, and they would run through the Sun Belt, you know, like...
like Lane Kiffin did.
Right.
This year. Or, like, people don't can't even tell you who's in which division in Conference USA. I don't think people would be able to keep up with ACC teams moving up and down in divisions.
You get a lot more fluent, though. I mean...
So, that's true. All you need to know about the SEC, and here's the deal with recruiting. Like, Justin Fields, number one player in the nation, going to Georgia. Could be a great player, maybe not. We're not sure. Recruiting isn't an exact science. But the earth is not flat, folks. Recruiting rankings do, in fact, matter. But the most important thing you need to know about recruiting rankings is the average ranking over a 4 or 5 year window. And this is why Georgia's number one class last yesterday is a big deal, but it's only a big deal if he continues to stack top classes on top of each other, and all of a sudden they've got 3 or 4 or 5 elite-level classes competing on one team. That's how you get to Alabama level, that's how you get to Clemson level, and that is how you get to Ohio State level. The one thing I noticed about the SEC yesterday, Luke, only 3 teams in this league recruited at a higher level than their average over the last 5 years. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Georgia had the number one class in the nation. Their average was a 7. Their average recruiting class has been a 7 over the last 5 years. They were number one yesterday. South Carolina's average recruiting class ranking over the last 5 years is a 21. They were a 19 yesterday. Had the 19th rated class. Good job by Will Muschamp. And your Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, baby.
41st rated recruiting class, the highest of the Derek Mason era, and much better than their average over the last 5 years, which tells me a couple of different things.
Vandy is on the up and up.
Yes. South Carolina, Georgia, Vanderbilt, excellent job by those coaching staffs. Obviously, a lot of new coaches at the other positions. What it tells me, though, is everybody else is taking a big step back in recruiting. Every other team in the SEC underachieved its actual norm. Now, there's reasons for that, right? Tennessee fired a coach. Florida fired a coach. Texas A&M, you know, fired a coach. Arkansas fired a coach. Arkansas, by the way, probably the worst class in 20 years.
They've been really struggling. That program is struggling.
Chad Morris is listen, it's just his first cycle, and we got a long way to go. He may be a great coach. I like Chad Morris, but that is probably the worst class that Arkansas has had in 20 years.
And Walmart or Jerry Jones cannot save that program at this point.
They've got a lot of bells and whistles in Arkansas, folks.
It's unbelievable. It really is.
They got a lot of money. They got a big stadium. They got tons of facilities. There's no reason that Arkansas has the 55th rated recruiting class in the nation. And again, I'll give you one stat, one number about why these rankings matter. If you are a 5-star player, you are 1,000 times more likely to be drafted in the first round than if you're a 2-star player.
Ooh.
Literally. The number is literally 1,000 times more likely. Mm. It's actually, technically, it's like 998% more likely.
Really?
So I want to make sure I get the
facts. I don't know if you heard
there.
Me counting, but I did 1,000.
Right. The point is you have to recruit on a team level over a 5-year window at a high level to compete for championships.
Yeah.
So my message to people about recruiting is not, hey, this one player, Cade Mays, is going to be great for Georgia. Tennessee missed out on him. It's not about the one guy. It's never about the one star ranking or the one player or even the 3 or 4 players. You're going to have some hits. You're going to have some misses. But the team ranking is what matters. And the reason Alabama is always competing for national championships, they have a great coach. They're number one every single year. Now, they were number 7 yesterday. But their last 5 recruiting classes, 1, 1, 1, 1, and 1.
Right.
That is why they are great. And you have to have great players. And Kirby Smart is making a big move.
Yes. He is. You know, actually, it's funny. I didn't know. I thought maybe you were going to a clip there for a second. But you know what I'm most impressed about the Georgia class, actually, was their recruitment of the offensive line. And I think it's so underrated, especially in the college game, but in the game overall. But the game is really won in the trenches. And they got top three recruits at their respective positions.
Yep.
A tackle, a guard, and I believe a center.
Yeah, they dominated the line.
And that's huge. Yeah. That's the biggest story coming out of here. People are maybe the biggest overlooked story coming out of this is what Georgia did on the offensive line. I guess they got a dual threat quarterback.
Number one player in the nation is Justin Fields. And again, Jake Fromm is there on campus. We have no idea. We think Justin Fields is going to be really awesome.
Well, you just don't know.
You just don't know.
Right.
The message about recruiting rankings is that, again, I go back to, it's the team ranking. It's how good is your overall roster over time.
Mm-hmm.
That is what that's the number one thing you should take away from recruiting rankings. Isn't, oh, this guy was a 4-star and he came in and he was better. Or, oh,
because
this
matters in 3 years, really.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing.
You have to have 3 or 4 of them in a row to be great.
Yeah.
Like, Tennessee didn't have a great day yesterday. Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee, didn't have a good day. They didn't land any of the guys at the top of their board. They lost a couple of kids to Florida State. They did sign a top 20 class, which is well below their average, which is their average is about the 13th rated class in the country over the last 5 years. So that's well below their average. But that's to be expected when you change coaches. It doesn't mean anything. Like it's all about what it looks like in 3 years. If Jeremy Pruitt continues to recruit the 23rd rated recruiting class every year, and they're 23rd every year for the next 5 years, they're not going to be winning anything, especially not with Kirby Smart doing what he's doing. Dan Mullen had a big day yesterday after a slow start, finished with and we got to get to the Jacob Copeland press conference announcement, by the way, yesterday. I don't know if you saw that, Luke, where Mama got up and walked away.
I did see this.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But so Florida is having a big day. Georgia's crushing it. South Carolina has an above average class. Tennessee you can't afford to be in the 20s and compete with Georgia now.
No.
You're going to have to be in the top 10. And so 1 year doesn't matter. But if we wake up in 3 years and Jeremy Pruitt hasn't signed a top 10 class at all, ever,
right,
you're not going to compete with Georgia.
So go get some
bottom
junior,
line.
I get some junior college transfers. Things like that do matter when you don't hit your mark recruiting.
Yeah.
And you got to do that. And the thing is, man, if you can't consistently, hit a high mark and raise the bar in recruiting, in this landscape, this college football landscape, you just cannot compete in the SEC for one, for national championship two.
And so if I'm going to say, hey, don't worry, Tennessee fans, about the class this year, it's more about your three-year window of recruiting, the same thing has to go for Derek Mason. Congratulations, excellent class. It's the best class you've had since being at Vanderbilt. You got to keep doing it. You need to add three more of those. Make every class from here on out for Vanderbilt better than the one before, and all of a sudden you got a chance to win 7 or 8 games every year, and maybe take another step in your program's development, because right now Vanderbilt's fighting for 6 wins every year.
Right.
So but this is about stacking talent on top of talent on top of talent. LSU, for example, a 15th rated class yesterday. That's well below their average. They're the
five-star.
They are the third best roster in America every single year, behind only Ohio State and Alabama as far as recruiting rankings go, and they were 15th yesterday. In the country, they didn't get anybody on signing. They got one kid yesterday. They lost out on Patrick Surtain, who went to Alabama.
Yeah.
LSU, Coach O, there are questions about that. We've had questions since he was hired. But in Alabama, no questions. I don't care. 7th class in the nation is still great. That's not a concern. But it is about the 4 or 5 year look at your roster. That's how good your team is going to be. And so it don't live or die by one player. Live or die by the overall team rankings over a 5-year window. That is the most important thing in recruiting rankings. But make sure you understand that they matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like this flat earth society that doesn't think that recruiting rankings matter is beyond comprehension to me. Like Julio Jones was a pretty good player, so
yeah,
we knew it, and
still a really good, pretty good player. Yeah.
So pretty interesting stuff there. All right, so we've got to get to a coffee with the coach. I do want to get to the Jacob Copeland press conference, who announced, and then he picked Florida, and like his mom was wearing an Alabama shirt and a Tennessee hat, and she just gets up and walks off stage.
Very much shades of Landon Collins.
We can't go a single year without this happening.
It's amazing.
Without somebody super making their mom really upset. But that whole thing was super bizarre, because like someone else was wearing a Tennessee gear, and then the other lady behind him like gasped openly when he picked the Florida hat. Like, it wasn't a good look anywhere. He never looks at his mom the entire time.
It was like an episode of Punk'd.
It was so weird.
Amazing.
She gets up, and then not even, like, offstage right, she grabs her purse and, like, walks across the camera, like, in front of the camera.
Just mad stomping her way out the
door.
Super
angry. Yeah. I want to know which – I don't know. There has to be – this is where it's too easy to make the SEC joke. Which payroll is she on?
Right.
Tennessee or Alabama?
She met the wrong bag man at the wrong spot.
And he went to Florida? What's going on?
Yeah.
Got some routing numbers mixed up there.
Yeah,
no, we joke. We joke. The SEC's clean. There's nothing wrong with
100%.
Coffee with the coach when we come back. Kevin McCarthy going to join us, talk a little Nashville Predators. The Luke Rogers, Braden Gall. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time for Coffee with the Coach. Dunkin' Donuts is the official coffee of the Nashville Predators. And Coffee with the Coach every Thursday morning here on 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Kevin McCarthy joining us here on the show. Mac, how are you, sir?
Doing good.
So, you get 3 out of 4 points in the last 2 games. We'll get to, your team coming back in the third period and what that means for you guys moving forward in a second. But how good, at some point when the other goaltender is just having a great night, like, what do you tell the guys? Like, listen, just keep at it, keep at it. I mean, what do you tell a team when you're peppering a goaltender and the guy just keeps making big saves?
I think the biggest thing is, we talk about, taking the goaltender's eyes away. I mean, it's something that we talk about all the time, but it's true. I mean, he's one of those goalies that if he sees the puck, he's probably going to stop it. And, the first goal that we scored by Sissons there late in the period, the second period was a prime example where, you know, Salty got right in front of him, and he didn't see it. And when the rebound came out, you know, he wasn't able to track it. So that's the biggest key is that, like you said, you just don't quit doing what you're trying to do. And eventually, you hope that puck will find the back of the net. And you know, I thought that really carried the momentum into the third period, and we started the third period the right way. And I think that goal at the end of the second was a big boost for us. Like you said, when you stop at everything, to finally get that one to crack that egg, it's a good feeling.
Kevin McCarthy joining us here from the Nashville Predators. And you mentioned that Colton Sissons line with Pontus Aberg and Mika Salamaki last night. You guys tinker a lot. You move the lines around a lot. But that one seemed to find something last night. Can fans expect to see that group together? And is that the best you've seen of those guys this season so far?
Well, I think, you know, that line, you know, they originally had Waddy on it, and then, Lavi juggled the lines there midway through the second and just trying to see something different. And, you know, we put Smitty up there with RV and Joey and had a little bit different look. So, you know, sometimes you just try to make you know, subtle changes there that can maybe spark a line or change things up. And I thought that Lavi did a good job by doing that, just try to change things, change the look, and I thought it did. I thought it really worked, especially in the end of the second and the third period.
Kevin, Luke Rogers here. Quick question. I think a lot of people are waiting for and wondering when we might possibly see Mike Fisher return to the ice for the Nashville Predators.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, right now, you know, we put Mike on Andy Hosser, our medical trainer, and David Good, our strength coach, you know, two guys that we have complete trust in. You know, they came up with a plan, you know, for Mike, along with Mike, and basically it was, you know, put him on a while we're gone, there's on this road trip, we brought in Scotty Nichols, who was a player development coach. We brought him in to work one-on-one with Mike on the ice and try to do a progression with him, you know, try to increase the intensity on the ice every day. And, you know, Mike was in good shape when he decided to come back. And I think, you know, the difference in being in shape and being in hockey shape. So, you know, we're not in any hurry to bring Mike back in the lineup. I think we want to make sure we do what's right for Mike. And, you know, the biggest thing right now is to make sure that he's, you know, in a position where he can go out and play the game the way he needs to play and the way he expects himself to play. So, you know, we're not going to put any timetable on it when Mike's ready to play. My guess is probably at some point in March. You know, we're hoping that when we come back off this road trip that Mike will be able to start, you know, practicing with us on a regular basis and just go from there.
Kevin McCarthy joining us here from the Nashville Predators. It feels like there's been a different energy in every game, sort of around the league, since you guys got back and after the All-Star break against the Blackhawks. I know that one didn't turn out the way you wanted to, but, you know, you got points in, 12 out of 13. Does it feel different? Do you guys allow yourselves as players and coaches to sort of feel the energy grow as you near the playoffs, or is it just head down, next game, one at a time?
I think that's the biggest thing, is just that one at a time. And I thought that Ryan Ellis really, really kind of spoke about that very well. I don't know if I saw the article a couple of days ago where, you know, he talked about the mindset of the team, the mindset of the players, and just basically that they expect to win every night. And I think that's a great feeling when your team kind of takes over that. You know, it's a lot of times, you know, Lavi's the guy that has to lead that charge and get these guys motivated and ready to play in each and every game. And you know, I really feel good as coaches when your players start to, you know, take that over and start expecting that from each other and demanding that from each other. And you know, I really believe that's where we are as a team right now, is our players have this belief that every time we step on the ice that we can win a game. And you know, we have that feeling that, you know, if everybody shows up and plays the way they're capable of playing, that we can win every night. You know, we've shown that over the last few weeks here, and I think it's, like you said, it's getting to that point now where, you know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, where you know, the playoffs are coming up, and you want to make sure that you're playing your A game, you know, as you approach.
What kind of challenges does Ottawa present? And you got any message, any words of wisdom for Kyle Turris as he returns to his former team?
It's always tough. I think that, you know, players obviously, you know, you know, you always want to come back and play well against your former team. And I think that's, you know, Kyle's mindset going in is to, you know, play the, play the type of game that he knows he can play. And I think that, you know, with that line there, you know, I'm pretty sure that Lavi's going to put that line back together with Kevin Fiala and Smitty tonight, just because that's been a good line for us, and give Kyle all the help he needs here to go out and play well against his former team. And I think, you know, it's kind of a two-part thing. You know, obviously Kyle wants to come in and you know, show the team that, you know, his former team, that he's the player that the fans have always loved and watched. And I think that our players, you know, they're going to want to make sure that, you know, they put in a good performance for Kyle. So I think it's kind of a two-headed monster. So we're hoping that everybody will pick it up and for Kyle and put on a good show here tonight in Ottawa and come away with another win.
Not trying to put you in any position to be critical of officials. I totally understand that at all. But how can the NHL be more consistent about legislating contact to the head?
Well, I think, you know, I understand how difficult, you know, that job is, you know, but, you know, we watch a lot of tape, you know, obviously, you know, we're pre-scouting and teams and stuff like that. So you see a lot of situations where, you know, there are hits to the head. And you know, it's, for me, you know, when you watch the breakdown of the one that still got suspended for, it was, to me, it was maybe just a tad late. Maybe, you know, I mean, you know, it happened, the game happened so quickly, but there was no intent by, in my opinion, by Phil to go after his head. I mean, if you actually watch the tape, when contact is made, he's actually, you know, facing backwards, so he can't even, you know, really target his head. He ends up hitting him in the chest, in the upper chest and the shoulder, and then the head makes contact after that. So, to me, it wasn't a vicious hit. It wasn't a planned headshot, and I was very surprised when they came and gave us the phone call. But even after that, you know, we all thought that, well, you know, if they're going to do something, maybe one game, if anything at all, and because of Phil's history. So he's been a clean player in this league, and he's not that type of player. So it was really kind of a shocking for us, you know, disappointing and shocking and situation for Phil.
Coach, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks a lot for giving us a few minutes, and best of luck on the finish up here on the Canadian swing, and we'll see you back in town next week.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Kevin McCarthy there from the Nashville Predators. Coffee with the Coach every Thursday morning here on 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Nashville Predators. When we come back, I want to get into exactly what he was talking about there with the Forsberg hit, because it doesn't sound like the coaching staff was too excited about that. So we'll get into that when we come back. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to 102.5 live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. This Valentine's Day, give your sweetheart a special gift they will always remember. A singing Valentine's performed by Nashville's finest barbershop quartet, the Music City Chorus. Go to thegamenashville.com and tell us your best or worst Valentine's story, and you can win a performance by the Music City Chorus. Best or worst Valentine's story? I would lean towards worst. I feel like worst stories, bad stories, awful stories will... they'll be more memorable, and you have a better chance to win, Luke. I feel like...
You want me to tell stories?
No. I'm just the best, you know, you could tell us the best or worst Valentine's story to win the Music City Chorus. I just think...
Disasters always sell better. Let's hear the disaster.
They're more interesting, and again, obviously, hoping nobody actually gets physically hurt in this conversation. We're not talking about, like... We're talking about emotional damage, not physical damage.
No. We
don't wish harm on anyone. That would be mean.
No, we're talking just about disaster dates. Yeah. Or
I've heard some bad ones. Like you go to dinner and like people are getting divorced on Valentine's Day. Like that's pretty rough.
That's probably. I mean, that's
that would be a worst story.
That'd be a
would probably qualify you to win a barbershop quartet.
Dude, I would love to win the barbershop quartet. I'm not eligible, but I would love. Yeah, I would love that.
So McCarthy, there. I know it's we've been about a week now, or a couple, four or five days now since the Forsberg suspension was announced. It feels like every day on the show we've talked about this hit on Philip Forsberg, and Kevin McCarthy did admit that it was probably a little late, which also means that they were prepared for a potential one game suspension, but they definitely were shocked, like the rest of us, that it was a 3-game suspension. And certainly the Predators pick up 3 points in those two games. They're now 8-2-3 without Forsberg. One more tonight against Ottawa. Pregame at 5:30, puck drop at 6:30. And then Forsberg back on the ice. And as of right now, Luke and Chase, the Predators have never lost with both Ryan Ellis and Philip Forsberg on the ice together. They're undefeated.
Big facts.
It's factually correct.
It is.
Sort of like the fact that Blake Bortles has three fewer Super Bowl losses than Tom Brady.
Mm.
How about that?
That's how you spin
it. Blake Bortles has never lost a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's lost three times.
Because he's never played in one.
That's not part of my point. My point is...
Yeah, but he's never played in one.
My simple point is that Blake Bortles, facts...
Because the Jags blew it against the Bradys.
He's never lost in the Super Bowl.
I just back to the Forsberg thing. You know, I watched this now. This hit now in replay and slow mo, and I get it's interference. Like, you know, the puck is gone, but three games seems egregious.
It does.
It's not like he's headhunting. He didn't leave his feet. He didn't.
Nope.
He just kind of stuck his backside. Plus a little oomph into the Rangers player who
Jimmy Vesey
happened to be losing happened to just gotten rid of the puck. Yeah, man.
I think coach's analysis of it fits in line with where I'm at. One game, a little bit late, fine. To make it three games though is to call it malicious intent, and I don't think there's any malicious intent there. And I think I have not met a person, a Rangers fan or otherwise, that has said that they think that had malicious intent. So I have no idea what
he had left his feet,
the NHL's looking at,
and gone at this guy's head. We're talking about a different story, but this isn't it doesn't look like he's trying to injure the guy by any means. And that to me, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying is that it crosses the line from 1 to 3 games when it becomes a real dirty play.
Right.
And I just don't see that. I mean, of course, you can't judge a man's heart or the intent necessarily, but it doesn't. All by all appearances, it's not a dirty play, or one where Forsberg's looking to take somebody out of the game. Bad move, NHL.
Yeah, and it sounds like the coaching staff was pretty surprised by it, which I think is fair to say.
Thumbs down to the shield.
And this is my thing with the NHL. There's opportunities, and like the NFL doesn't have to worry about this stuff. The NFL can have PR problems every day, and it doesn't matter. Like, the NFL can go through whatever scandal it wants to go through, and it's still, people don't, like, everybody's complaining about the ratings being down and TV, and the NFL is losing, like, it's still the most watched, the most paid attention to, the most popular sport that exists in this country by a large, large, large margin. They don't have to worry about marketing their stars.
Right.
Or, you know, they just don't have to worry about all the other things. The NHL, anyone else other than the NFL, you've got to figure out ways to maximize your potential. And the NHL, by being inconsistent with discipline and not marketing their stars on the other side of the coin, they just leave so much meat on the bone, in my opinion,
yeah.
as far as a brand goes. And that the Predators don't have that problem.
No.
But the NHL does.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's because the NHL so for so many years has catered to the Canadian audience. I mean, we're being honest here. There's a lot more ice and snow up north in America's hat than there is here, and I think that's a big miss. And I think hockey has traction here in Nashville, where we get ice like once a week out of the winter, and nobody can drive, and it shuts everything down.
Yeah.
But
they don't have a lot of practice. Chase and I were talking about this yesterday. There's not a lot of practice in this city for snow and ice,
right?
So they don't have a lot of reps.
So when people from the north, you know, get on us like, oh, you guys, the town shuts down, you don't know what to do. Yeah, you're right, because we don't do it a lot.
That is true. My issue with Nashville driving is the rain, though. We do drive in the rain a lot.
We do, and yes, I
still don't know how to drive in the rain.
I'm on board with that. Like, I am with you that people freak out when it rains and don't know what the.
You know what's worse?
I don't know why.
What's worse than that?
Or take your time.
Worse than that is all the rubbernecking and looky loos.
Looky loos.
It is way worse in this city than any city I've ever been in. I lived in Southern California for 6 years.
So people like to watch other accidents.
Like, if there's
more
something on the
else?
Side of the road, there's somebody like looking under their hood. Everybody slows down to check it out. Like, get to where you're going, people. I mean, this is way up there on pet peeves for me.
Well, how many places have you lived to judge where Nashville is ranked nationally in looky-looness?
Well, I lived in San Diego for 6 years, and I went back and forth to L.A.
Okay.
Once a week at least for those entire 6 years. So I know L.A. traffic, and that's about as bad as it gets.
It's true.
And I'm from Northern California. I lived in Wisconsin. That doesn't count. There's not a whole lot of traffic there. But everybody knows how to drive in the snow. Believe me.
But they don't. The rubbernecking is interesting, though. If it's like, I would like to know.
I've driven. Okay, this is the other thing. I've driven across this country 5-6 times three times with touring bands, and then I've done it three times on my own. So I've been I've driven a lot of this fine
country.
USA to know that like it is bad here.
Okay, that's
hey, people. Guess what? You know what? There's places to go. There's things to see. There's things to think of where you're going. And if you need to slow down because you're curious about what's going on, great. Just slow down in the right-hand lane and let everybody else go where they're going.
Well, what's funny is I find it interesting that a particular area or city or state or whatever would have a more like watching and looking at a car wreck is like a human element thing, right? Like when you see an accident or something like, I mean, obviously barring, you know, terrifying, there's obviously terrifying accidents out there that happen.
Well, I can understand if there's like fire and stuff going on, then yeah. But
if it's just somebody looking under the hood, I just think it's interesting. What about Nashville makes people more interested in other people's business than other places?
Dude, that is a question we
got to
get
to. People in Iowa not care at all. People in Iowa just are like, nope, just going to drive along here. That person's not none of my business. Don't care.
If the mayor addressed this instead of her yoga habits, we might have we might have a decent conversation.
It's a sports talk show.
I know. I'm just saying. Not saying, but I'm saying.
You got to stay healthy, man.
Sure.
Stay healthy.
Sure.
Let's go back to the Predators. Can we go back to the Predators?
Hey, part of staying healthy is not slowing down on the freeway. Mental health, guys.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Predators.
Let's stick with the Predators, please.
If you're going to the Preds game and you're
making me uncomfortable,
I want to get to the Preds game. So don't be a looky-loo.
Oh my God!
I want to hammer that one home,
at
buddy.
The Luke Rogers. If you'd like to comment on anything he has to say on the show today, he will be back tomorrow. Maybe we're not sure.
Hey, we've got some comments. We've got some Canadian comments on Twitter here about Vancouver being the worst place for that kind of stuff.
I feel like it's a pretty consistent thing across the country that everyone wants to rubberneck and look at accidents.
I hate it. Why?
No, I agree with you, but it's human instinct, first of all, to slow your car down when you're driving past an accident.
Yeah.
And everybody does it. I just am interested why one area or city would do it more than another one.
Well, you know what? If you start slowing down, let's slap some three-game suspension, some excessive Philip Forsberg suspensions on your driver's license.
Wow.
If you're doing that,
I might actually be okay with if you turn right from the left hand lane.
Yes,
you get a two day suspension.
Dude, let's
from
just
driving.
Start pulling people's licenses. I want to be empowered to that.
There are a lot of things on the roads that we could say. Listen, you're suspended for 2 days. You're not allowed to drive.
Yeah, you got to have your mom come pick you up in her minivan. She's dropping you off just like the old days. But yeah.
We digressed hardcore there, bro.
But it's important stuff that needs to be said on the radio waves out here. You're so uncomfortable right now. I love it.
No, I'm not. I love talking about traffic because I think the people in this city, that's not their strong suit. I think that we do many, many things very, very well in this city, and I'm not sure driving is one of them. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm a self-aware Nashvillian.
You are very self-aware.
I'm a very good driver. I'm an amazing driver.
And you're wearing your NHL All-Star hat today, which you're a proponent of the shield, although it's backwards. The shield got this suspension wrong. We're bringing it full circle here.
All right, we're going to go to break. Chase, we're going to do a radio show when we come back. Is that all right?
Yeah, you do what you want, man.
Buck Rising going to join us. The Titans had coordinators out to practice, out at the complex yesterday, and both Dean Pease and Matt LaFleur had a chance to speak with the media. We'll talk with Buck Rising, get his thoughts on meeting with those guys yesterday for the first time with Titans gear on. So we'll do that when we come back. His name is Luke Rogers, at the Luke Rogers. Tweet all of the mean things to him. Say only nice things to me.
Bring it all.
ESPN 102.5 The Game.